Yes, I'm going to take the lectern and come down here, and we'll all sit on this side for the soul winning class. That's after the service tonight, so we'll have the message and then a time of prayer, and the Lord's Supper, and we'll have a 5-minute break in between. After that 5-minute break, those that want to be in the soul winning class can sit over on this side, and we'll have the class. And if we move along tonight, we should have you out of here before 8:45 for sure. Mark chapter 4. Let's pray, please. Our Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the Spirit of God might speak to our heart as we determine the meaning of the Word of God. We pray that we might see it, that we might understand it, and we might be able to put it to use in our life for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know Thee as Savior, they might see their need and get saved tonight. We pray and we trust Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4, starting verses 26 to 29. We read these last week, and we are determining the meaning of what our Lord was saying in this parable. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, and He said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise and night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." All right, here we have a parable that starts out saying, "So is the kingdom of God." Last week we looked at the term "a kingdom of God" to determine what is meant in Holy Scripture by the kingdom of God, especially in this place where the parables are. And we saw that the kingdom of God is in Holy Scriptures found in three forms. There is the spiritual kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God." That's the spiritual kingdom of God. You can only get in that kingdom by being born again. The spiritual kingdom of God. There's another use of the word, the kingdom of God, in the Word of God, and that is the millennial kingdom. We call it millennial because it stands for 1,000 years. And that is when the Lord Jesus Christ reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. That is the millennial kingdom of God. And certain saved people will be able to be in that kingdom also. And then there is one that's not as well known, and that we call the mystery form of the kingdom of God. And that is that time. It covers in time. It covers the time from the Lord's first advent until His second advent, until His second coming. That is the time of the mystery form of the kingdom. And that kingdom is the Lord's reign over all of the world in that period of time. And so, even though the lost do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not saved, they're lost, He still has reign over all the nations, over all the world during that time. And so that is His kingdom. It is still His kingdom, though there are lost involved in it. So there are lost and there are saved in the mystery form of the kingdom. Now, this parable, verses 26 to 29, is set during the time of the mystery form of the kingdom. However, when it says, "So is the kingdom of God," it is speaking about the spiritual kingdom of God. The first form that we spoke of, "Except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God." And this parable, then, these four verses, tell us how the spiritual kingdom comes about. Number one, men sow the seed. Verse 26. "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." The men sow the seed. Almighty God has given man the privilege of sowing the seed, which is the Word of God. We had a previous parable And in the previous parable, he mentioned what the seed was, that the seed was the Word of God. And you look at verse 14, and we wouldn't expect that he would change that figure. Verse 14 says, "The sower soweth the Word." So we know then that in verse 26, when it says, "As if a man should cast seed into the ground," that he's speaking about the Word of God. Men sow the seed. Men sow the Word. Almighty God has given the privilege to those that are saved that they may spread the Word of God, that they may sow the Word of God. He has commissioned, actually He has commissioned the saved to do the work of heaven, to bring the Word of God to the lost. Mark 16 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He said that to men. He didn't say that to angels. He said that to men. And so this parable teaches then that man sows the seed. Man preaches the Word of God. Man is given the privilege and responsibility to preach the Word of God. If man doesn't do it, who's going to do it? And it's a simple answer, because Almighty God gave the responsibility to man, and He expects man to carry out the preaching of the Word of God. And so if it's not done, it's man that must absolutely do this. The seed is the Word. He said it should cast seed into the ground. Now I see this as being good ground. The reason I do is He said He cast it into the ground. Well, we might remember from a previous parable that I've already referred to, that's explained from verse 14 on. You might remember that parable, that there was seed and it was sown, and it, some of it landed on the pathway, which was very hard and doesn't take the seed, and so no fruit is born from that. And then we also saw that some of the seed landed on rocky ground, and that cannot take root either. But this says that he should cast seed into the ground. And in verse 20 it says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold." And so the previous parable said that there was good ground, and that brought forth fruit. So this must also be good ground, because he cast the seed into the ground, and we will see that it brings forth fruit also. So men are sowing the seed. Man is given the responsibility then of bringing the gospel to other people, giving them the Word of God, quoting it to them, reading it to them, telling them how to be saved. Man sows the seed. How the spiritual kingdom comes about? Number one, man sows the seed. Number two, the Lord brings life. The Lord brings life. Verses 27 and 28 tell us that. "And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear." Now the Lord is speaking in a parable here, and here's what he's saying. The man gets the seed into the ground. It's good ground. And then the man goes to bed, and he wakes up, and he goes to bed, and he wakes up, and he goes to bed, and he wakes up. And pretty soon, you know, without him doing anything, it starts to shoot up. And up comes the growth. It says, he knoweth not how. He doesn't understand it. If you plant a garden and you put that seed in the ground, I mean, maybe you had that seed for a while. You know, you went out and bought it early and you had it sitting around for a while. Maybe it's in a little package and it didn't do anything in the package. It didn't grow in the package. And then you place it in the ground, and pretty soon you look out there one day and you see a little bit of a shoot coming up. Now what is it that made that shoot come up? Is it you that made it come up? No, it's not you that made it come up. What is it that made it come up? The answer to that is Almighty God gave it life. That's the answer to it. Almighty God gave that seed life when it was placed in the ground, and He brought forth a plant. And so man sows the seed, number one. Number two, the Lord brings life. And he should sleep and rise night and day. That gives us the picture, you know, that he's not doing anything. He's just, the days are going by and he's looking out there. And finally, the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. He doesn't know how it comes about. And the reason he doesn't know is because it is the God of heaven that gives life to everything. And he gives it life. For the earth bringeth forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. In other words, what he's speaking of here is that the plant starts to grow. And you see more and more of it come about as it starts to bloom. The whole thing finally comes about. And you have a full plant, and it came about, we know not how. We didn't do it. Now, if we set about to build a house, you know, and build a foundation, and then we put the floor joists on and so forth, and the floor, and we build it up, and we see it's being built, and we know that a man's doing that. And when you plant a garden, you put the seed in the garden, and pretty soon you have a fully grown plant. How did it get there? Almighty God gave it the life, and He brought about full life. When you plant the Word of God in a person, and they receive it, they are good ground. When they receive it, that makes them good ground, that they receive the Word of God. And when they have received the Word of God, Almighty God gives them life. He gives them the new birth. He makes them a new creature. We don't. He does. And if indeed they have received the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, then they grow in the Lord, and it is not us that does it. You know, we do everything we can. We give Bible follow-up book and a Bible follow-up course, and we get the folks right into the Word of God. We try to encourage them. We try to teach them so they'll grow in the things of the Lord. But it is not the Bible follow-up course. It is not our friendship. It is not our encouragement that gets them saved, keeps them saved. It is the power of God. We give them the Word of God, and if they receive it as good ground, He gives them new life, supernatural life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know why? Because we helped them know. Because Almighty God gave them new life. They become a new creature because the Lord put it in them. That's what he's talking about here. And you know, it's kind of a mystery to us, it looks like anyway. It says at the end of verse 27, he knoweth not how. But you know, you see folks, and they're changed. They're changed. They're different. They're never the same again. Why? Because we take a certain stand that you shouldn't do certain sins? No. Because the Lord has regenerated them and made them a new creature, and they are a new life, and they don't want the old life. They want the new life, and they want the Lord. And that comes about in the individual because the Lord did it. How the spiritual kingdom comes about? Number one, man does his part. He sows the seed. He sows the Word of God. When that is received, then the Lord brings life. The Lord gives spiritual life. And number three, the soul winner gathers in the fruit. Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, I read a number of men commenting on this, and a few of them, because they saw the sickle there, they thought that this was meant that the Lord brings the person home to heaven, and they agreed that the Lord gives them spiritual life, but they thought that the sickle meant they're cut down in their life and brought home to heaven. I don't in the least bit believe that. And I have a number of reasons why I don't believe that. I don't think it's saying that at all. I'll tell you why. The first reason is, in verse 26, it says, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground." It starts out with a man, and when it gets down to verse 29 and it says, "He put it in the sickle," I still see that as the man. Verse 27 says, "He knoweth not how." It's still talking about the man knoweth not how, and the man putteth in the sickle. Not God putting in the sickle, it's the man that puts in the sickle. And so, I see the emphasis of this parable saying this. I see it, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. I see the emphasis in this verse being on the harvest, not on the sickle. Now, this is not an unusual figure by the Lord at all. As a matter of fact, the Lord said this. He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." The harvest truly is plenteous. In other words, he needed laborers to go and bring in the harvest. Now, how would you bring in the harvest? You cut it down, you bring it in. Isn't that right? And so the picture he's giving there, that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, is that they are to bring in the harvest, bring in the saved folks. Go out and get them saved and bring them in. That's the figure he uses. And that's the figure that I believe is here. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. In other words, the plant is out there, and you don't just let the plant stay out there. In this case, it's probably wheat or something of that nature. But you don't let it stay out there until it dies, until it rots. You bring it in. And I believe for the application here for the New Testament church is, when the seed is sown, the person gets saved. When they're saved, they bring forth the life. And it is up to then the same ones that sow the seed, the man, to bring those people in, to harvest them in together into the local church, where they'll have a fellowship and teaching and be together under the sound of the Word of God. That's the picture I see, that when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put it in the sickle, because the harvest has come. The same figure as the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Gathering in the harvest, gathering in those that are one to the Lord Jesus, gathering in the souls, not leaving them in the cold. You know, we don't, and we shouldn't. We should never, a soul winner, I don't care who he is, a soul winner should never say, "Well, you know, I spread the word of God, and some said they got saved, and if they're really saved, the Spirit of God will take care of them after that." And we have a responsibility. It's true that if they're saved, they will have new life. But it is our responsibility to gather them into the local church and to strengthen those folks and to teach them the Word of God. And that picture is here too. It's not just there's new life out there. Oh, fine, there's new life out there. The Lord will take care of it. You see, man has a certain responsibility. This is how the spiritual kingdom comes about. Man sows the seed. That's his responsibility. The Lord brings forth life. The Lord does that. And then the soul winner gathers in the fruit. Again, that's man's responsibility to bring along those that are saved. Now, let me ask you this. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? You know, it's an absolute shame if we look at it as being just too much to do to spread the word of God, to cast the seed and to try to get folks saved. It's terrible if we look at it in that way. When the God of heaven looks at it this way, and he says, "I am giving these folks who before were worthless, who were sinners, who were bound for hell, but now are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving them the opportunity to work hand in hand with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to do the work that is the will of God. It is the will of God that men are saved. And He has given us a part in His will to get folks saved. But we must do our part. Are you doing your part? Get out the gospel. The Lord will bring new life. And with His new life, we need to encourage. Are you doing your part? Or are you doing nothing at all? Which is it? There really isn't too much excuse to do nothing at all. I'm trying to teach in a soul winning course how to lead people to Christ. There's really no excuse before Almighty God. We got to tell Him. Will you do it? Let's bow together. As our heads are bowed, we come to our prayer and invitation time. I wonder, is there someone here who would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I've ever been born again. I can't say for sure that I belong to the spiritual kingdom of God. But I'd like to be saved. I'd like to have assurance of that. I'd like to really know that I am saved and on my way to heaven." If there's someone here like that, would you raise your hand and let me know? You shouldn't be ashamed of the fact. We're all born sinners. We all practice sin until the day we see that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. Is there anyone here who would like to say, "I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know how one is born again and enters the kingdom of God"? Is there anyone? Christian, I trust that this parable given by the Lord Jesus Christ will be a challenge to you, to your responsibility in it. Will you take that challenge? Let's pray silently for a moment. Father, we come before Thee. We thank Thee for the teaching of Holy Scripture. Help us, Lord, to have the strength to follow it. Lord, we need the energizing power of the Spirit of God in our lives to be more effective in bringing the gospel to the lost around about us. Help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.